So by this now, by this new and living way, which he initiated and opened for us through the veil as in the Holy of Holies, that is, through his flesh. 21. And since we have a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God. Amen. Now,
share what you shared about you, pastor, your leader, but.
Yeah, I said that just. In the kingdom, in the church, if we pastors will understand that we are also the members of the church. We lead, but he rules. Because we, as a leader, he can take us out as the ruler, but we cannot take him out as the ruler. Because what? We are under his authority. Amen?
Amen.
Bless you, brother.
That's a great introduction. And the Lord gave you that, what, a couple days ago?
2 days ago.
2 days ago. And this fits right in with, well, first of all, last week, Pastor Emmanuel touched on the kingdom of God. And when he texted me not too long afterward, and he told me the two dates that he would have me teaching on Wednesday nights for the month of September, I promised him that I said anything that he teaches on, I must build upon. I have no choice. I have to build upon it. And the verse that I shared with him when I texted him was out of 1 Corinthians 3. If you want to, I'll go there because this is very important here. 1 Corinthians 3, let's start at chapter verse 5 all the way to 15. I'm going to read through it because this is worth it. It says here, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Ministering servants, not heads of parties, through whom you believed, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. This is the Amplified. So neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but only God who makes it grow and become greater. He who plants and he who waters are equal, one in aim, one of the same importance and esteem. Yet each shall receive his own reward, wages according to his own labor. For we are, this is key here, we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You are God's building. According to the grace, the special endowment for my task of God bestowed on me, like a skillful architect and master builder, I laid the foundation, and now another man is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can one lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, whether it be gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each one will become plainly, openly known, shown for what it is, for the day of Christ will disclose it. That's a judgment seat of Christ. And declare it, because it will be revealed what fire, I call it the Great Inquisition. And the fire will test and critically appraise the character and worth of the work of each person has done. 14, if the work which any person has built on this foundation, any product of his efforts, whatever survives his test, he will get his reward. But if any person's work is burned up under the test, he will suffer the loss of it, losing his reward, though he himself will be saved, but only as one who has passed through fire. So like I said, I promised him that anything he would teach, I have to build upon it. I have no choice. And this is the verse that the Lord had given me. And it's something that's been very dear to my heart over the years, and something that I've seen a great lack in the body of Christ overall. You hear messages, you hear one message here, you hear a different message the next Sunday, and they're all over the place, and it really actually builds confusion more than builds a solid foundation. So last week, Pastor Emmanuel mentioned that the focus of Jesus was what? What was it again? Do you remember what it was? What was his priority?
The kingdom.
It was the kingdom. The kingdom. So he elaborated on that. He touched on a lot of things. But I had to choose on something. What am I going to touch on? What am I going to build upon? So anyhow, I felt like the Lord was telling me, teach on the kingdom. Of course, this all fits in with what Israel, Apostle Israel, has been teaching on too when he comes here and stuff like that. And it's something that we don't hear a lot about. We hear a lot about other things. And we touch on certain things in the kingdom of God. But even myself, the more I meditate on what the Word has to say about the kingdom, I realize that we're not seeing much of the manifestation of the kingdom of God throughout the church. Because the church is the vehicle that God uses to manifest His kingdom. So, anyhow, first of all, the English word kingdom in the New Testament, it's used over 90 times. Now, the Greek word for the word kingdom, I won't get too much. Well, I do because it goes, it fits in with the YouTube videos. It's actually the word basileia. And B-A-S-I-L-E-I-A. And it's mostly found in the four Gospels. There's not a lot of references to the word kingdom in the epistles. Now, there are some, but it's mostly in the four Gospels. Now, this word, where do we get our English word today? What word do we get?
Basilica.
Basilica. So, anyhow, this is where I knew that I was on track. First of all, key definitions for this word basileia, which is our word, English word, kingdom, or today in our vernacular, it's the word basilica, literally has the idea of royalty, the word rule. That's why I'm saying when Emmanuel mentioned that, I said, well, that fits right in my message because it's got the word rule. Even the Amplified has the word rule there for the priest in Hebrews 10. It's got the idea of reign, not rain like raining outside, but God's rule and reign, R-E-I-G-N. It also carries the idea of a realm, of a sphere. It carries the idea of dominion. It also carries the idea of exercise of kingly power, or the exertion of kingly power. So Jesus made much about the kingdom, and something that stood out to me was that he mentioned at times the kingdom of God, but other times he mentioned the kingdom of heaven. Okay? So, what I like about word studies is that when I found some good word studies, when I read a word like kingdom, I translate it now to give me a better understanding. So when I read the kingdom of God, I translate it as the rule of God or the reign of God. So it helps me a lot in my meditation. It really does. And it opens up the word. It really does. The word royal or royalty, but the word royal in the New Testament is also from a Greek word, from that same word basileia. It's actually closer to the word basilica. It's the word basilikos. The word basilica is made up of five or six words. They call them in the Greek, they call them word, family words or group words. So I'm not going to get into that because we need to make this short. There's another word in the New Testament that in English is the word royal. And that one is found in 1 Peter 2:9. We don't know that one. We are a royal priesthood. That word royal is also from, rooted in the word basilica or basilios. There's different words. We get our English word today, the word king. It's also used many times in the New Testament, the word king, not only for Jesus, but also for Herod, different people like that. It's actually the word basileus. And one of its key definition is foundation of power. Now this is very interesting here because you get the word foundation, and I've used the word realm before, because this word basilica and all those other words in that group word comes from one word that actually is the English word translated. It's actually the Greek word basis, B-A-S-I-S, which we get a word base or foot. So it's foundation, the foundation. So what we're talking about here tonight, when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the foundation of God, the foundational rule of God, not only in heaven, but here on this earth. Now, of course, in this context, it's through the church, the ecclesia. Okay? This is what he wants to do. But unfortunately, he hasn't been able to do that very much over the centuries. I've studied enough church history that I know, I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of repenting on that day, but we need to repent now. Because on that day, there's no opportunity to repent. We just read, our works are going to be burned up, and those who've got a lot of works being burned up, well, their spirit's going to be saved, but their works are going to be burned up. I don't want no works being burned up. I'm not interested in having any of my works being burned up when I meet the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. So let me give you a few verses here on the word kingdom. There's a lot, like I said, there's over 90 of them. Let me give you some key verses here. If you guys want to write them down, fine. If you don't. First one is Matthew 3:2. Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? That the kingdom, when he said came preaching, he came and preached. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? Basically, it means it's in your face. Mm-hmm. It's in your face.
It's here.
It's here. This is what you've been waiting for all these years. This is what the prophets have been preaching all these years and prophesying. Mm-hmm. It's here. I'm the one. This is it. It's in your face. Mm-hmm. Matthew 4:23. Preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, or preaching of the good news of the kingdom, or of the rule and the reign of God on this earth. Matthew 6:33. We're all very familiar with that one. Seek ye first the rule of God, the reign of God, the dominion of God, the authority of God, the foundation of God. Matthew 11:12. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. 13:19. We're still in Matthew. The word of the kingdom. That, I've got really good teaching on that, not for tonight. The word of the kingdom. God really opened up to me that a few years ago. 13:11. Going back a couple of verses. The mysteries of the kingdom. The kingdom has mysteries to it. And a big part of that is given in the parables of the sower. And the mysteries, just to help you guys out here, I don't want you guys wondering what it is, you may know already. But the big part of the mysteries of the kingdom is to sow the word which has been given in seed form. The kingdom has been given to us in seed form. I'm a little ahead. Well, there it is right there. 13:31, Matthew. Kingdom is compared to a seed. Wow. God's rule and reign, power, authority, dominion is compared to a seed of mustard. 16:19, the keys of the kingdom. Luke 9:62, looking back, anybody who is looking back is not fit for the kingdom. So you got to be fit for the kingdom. If you're looking back, you're not fit for it. John 3:3, you must be born again, and if you're not, you cannot see the kingdom. 3:5, you cannot ever enter the kingdom. The way you get into the kingdom of God, under his rulership, under his dominion, is by being born again. 18:36, three times, Jesus tells us that this kingdom is not of this world. This rule is not of this world. This dominion is not of this world. It's from another world. It's from another realm. It's from heaven. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Verse 50, Galatians 5:21, and Ephesians 5:5 all have one thing in common. It says these kind of people cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And he's not talking about unbelievers there. Something that came to me before I began even to prepare myself for this, which kind of confirmed what I needed to do, is it came to me while I was writing some of my notes for something else, is that we've associated this word church, the English word church, which is our Greek word ecclesia, and I don't like the word church for the word ecclesia. It's very, very misleading. It should be more congregation, gathering, different things like that. But over the years, and this has been going on ever since Jesus came to establish the kingdom, we've established the word church with a building.
Yes.
This is how silly we are, or we can be. I can't speak for everybody, but I know it's a huge problem out there. And the worst part, well, I said here, we've associated with brick and mortars, buildings, instead of flesh and blood people. you know. And also, we've associated this word basilica with buildings. I don't want to get into that too much about different religions and stuff like that. But there are prominent religions out there that are really, really old, been around for centuries, and they built huge. They built huge basilicas. They missed the whole point. Because this basilica is God's rule. And God doesn't rule through buildings. He rules and reigns through His people. Okay? Something I found very interesting here is in the Lord's Prayer, which is Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Jesus mentioned three key words. We've got the word heaven, we've got the word kingdom, and we've got the word will, God's will. All having to do with God, right? God's kingdom, God's heaven, which is God's abode, God's dwelling place, and God's will. Now something, there's a difference between God's heaven, or heaven, and God's kingdom. Heaven is actually a place. It's a location. It's actually a city. It's a massive city. We read in Revelations. Right? But the kingdom is not a location. It's not a location. It's a realm. It's an invisible realm. It's not a place. It's a realm. It's an authority. It's a dominion. It's a foundation of God's rule. Heaven itself is governed by the kingdom of God, by His basilica, by His rule, by His reign. That's what it's governed by. And when God gets to govern, gets to basilica, His will gets done. But if He doesn't get to rule and reign, if He doesn't get to basilica, His will doesn't get done. Because you cannot separate God's kingdom from His will. You just can't. It's impossible. You know? So, that's what God is trying to establish on the earth. Because that's what Jesus said, right? That your will be done in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. So, thy kingdom come, right? Yeah. There it is. Thy rule come. Thy will be done. So you have to associate the kingdom of God with the will of God. And going back to what I said, God's kingdom must be established through His church, the ecclesia. He has no other vehicle to do that. And the more you meditate on that, the more you're going to be going, oh my gosh. Or, oh my good, or, oh my God, or my goodness, whatever. You're gonna have one of those aha moments that you're gonna realize that I say this many times, and I know I'm not here, but I mean, I've offended people by saying this. I said, how can you go to church when you are the church? You have to go to yourself. How many times we hear that? I've said that many times when after I got saved. I gotta go to church today. I go to church. Okay, that's fine. But no, you're not going to church. You're going to meet with the church. Because you're part of the church. You know? One of the things I said when I came here, I had a few people say, you know, you're joining New Life Global Church. I said, well, yeah. But I said, I joined the church when I got born again. You know? I'm joining, but I'm not joining. You know? God is sending me here for different reasons. But the minute you get born again, you just join the church, the body of Christ. Because the word body of Christ is just, it's another way of saying the church, the ecclesia. Right? I don't have the time to get into all that, but I got to keep this short. So this is how God gets to accomplish His will on earth, on the earth, on this planet, as it is being done in heaven through His kingdom, through His rule, through His reign, through His authority, through His dominion. That's how. He's got no other way to do it. But here on this earth, His will, His reign has to be accomplished, yes, through the ecclesia. But also something very interesting, in Matthew 16, when Jesus said, I will build my church. He never said, I will build my kingdom. The kingdom doesn't have to be built. If it had to be built, we're in trouble. We are in big trouble. No, the church has to be built. And the church is people. So people have to be built. Right? In the right way, right? Going back to what I just shared, going back to 1 Corinthians 3. The building, the foundation. Right? Paul, Apollo, God watered, workmanship, the whole thing, architect, master builder. See how it all fits together? Even I just mentioned the workmanship that's found in Ephesians 2:20 or Ephesians 2:10. And, 2:20, right? I think. It says that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works that He's already planned beforehand that we may walk in them. We don't have to come up. I mean, we confess that all the time when we meet on Tuesday morning. That's one of our key verses that we use, right? God RC has good works for New Life Global Church. God has good works for each one of us to do. And it's up to us to discover them by spending time with Him. You touched last week about prayer. I wanted to touch on that, but I just don't have time for that. So all I know, you said intimacy with God. That's how that's how the kingdom goes forward. That's one of the ways that the kingdom goes forward. So when you spend time, that's how I discovered my calling with Mission Enterprise, number one. Is by spending a whole lot of time with God. That's how I found out. That's how He revealed it to me. If I hadn't, He would have never not because He didn't want to. He wants to. But we're the one who are not positioning ourselves to receive what He wants to so, so much freely give to us. So that we can go out there and what? Freely give to them. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So, like I said, Jesus never said He was going to build His kingdom. He said, I'm going to build my ecclesia, which is part of Ephesians 4:12, the equipping of the saints. And then He said, so that I can give who? The ecclesia. I can give them the keys of the what? Of the basilica. That's what it's all about. Verse 19. The day we see the manifestation of God's rule, we will see God's will being done. Because that's what the Lord's Prayer was all about. And the day you see God's will being done is the day you will see the manifestation of God's kingdom. You can't separate God's will in God's kingdom. It's impossible. Now we have, by building buildings. Now I know we need buildings. And we need nice buildings. But when we put the building before the people, you got problems. You may not think you got problems now, but you wait till you're up there and you face the head of the church. Yeah. We're gonna see who's been right and who was wrong. We're gonna see. But we can find out now. We don't have to wait. I tell that to a lot of people. This is a time to repent. This is time to straighten out your theology. This is the time to straighten out the way you believe, the way you talk, the way you live. This is the time. Because once you're gone, that's it. It's over. It's over. You'll be judged according to your works. In Revelation, it says that our works will follow us into heaven. I hear this all the time. I still hear it to this day. That when we leave this earth, we bring nothing with us. Well, it's true, but that's not true. You're not going to bring your car. You're not going to bring... We're not going to bring our jets or anything like that.
Not bring anything physically.
You bring your works.
But you're going to bring your works. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be judged. Yeah. And I call that the Great Inquisition.
Amen.
Because they're going to be burned up if they're not according to God's standards. And you know, some people say, that's hard. Is it hard? Well, you can tell Him that when you face Him. Mm-hmm. No, we got the Word on it. And it's us to transform to the Word. Right? It's up to us to get into the Word and to find out what the Word says about these things so that we can be prepared for that great day. I tell people all the time, I look forward to that day. Well, you got some things in your life. Yeah, I'm working on them. I'm getting rid of them. I'm getting rid of them. That's why I do a lot of fasting. I want to get rid of stuff. When I face Jesus, I want to have a great day. I want Him to have a big smile on His face and I want a big smile on my face. Some people will have... Tell me something. You think your works are going to be burned up? You think you'd be all happy about it?
No.
I don't think so. No. You're not going to be happy about it. And you know what? He won't be happy about it either, because the word says in Hebrews 11:6 that he's a rewarder of them who earnestly and diligently seek him out. So he's a rewarder. So for a father to remove the rewards from his sons, he's not going to be happy about it. He's not. God's not going to say, I got him. No. God don't think like that. Maybe your earthly papa thinks like that. Or maybe sometimes you think like that. I've been there. I still am there once in a while. You know, I got to get rid of that. You know, God's not like that. He wants to give you rewards up there. He wants to give you rewards down here. Because that Hebrews 11:6 is not about being rewarded just in heaven. It's about being rewarded here on this earth. As we earnestly and diligently seek him out.
I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Amen. Amen. That's right. We cannot teach on the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven without teaching on the will of God. A couple verses here, just a few verses. John 5:30 carries the word will twice. And a few years ago, I was downstairs, and I may have shared this here before, but I'll share it again. It's worth it. And when the Lord, in 2008, I was on the phone with a sister of ours, she's a pastor, and as soon as I got off the phone, and the Lord gave me this word, he says, a son has no will of his own. And then the verse that came to me was John 5. And not too long after that, maybe half a year later, I was downstairs and I was just kind of wrapping things up. I was ready to go to bed. And the Lord brought these verses to me. And he said, I want you to live out of those verses. And they were talking about 19 and 20. But verse 30 here, I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It's a lot closer to the original. Jesus himself is saying here, he's saying this in his humanity, not in his deity. Because everything he did was in his humanity. Because he was the second Adam, right? Adam was not deity. He says here, I am able to do nothing from myself, independently, of my own accord. But only as I am taught by God, and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge. As I decide, as I am bidden to decide, as the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment or my decisions are right, just, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. Now that belongs to all of us. But the problem is with this, if I can use the word problem, because there are no problems with God, we've caused problems, is that we have to transform to these realities. These are the realities of the new creation. And it's a big part of walking in our sonship. It's a big part of walking in even Romans 8:14, a son or all those who are what? Led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And that word son is actually the word, the Greek word for mature sons. That's what God has in mind for his church. That's what God has in mind for his body. That's what God has in mind for his saints. That's what God has in mind for all those who are born again. That's what God has in mind. It's God's perfect will. Very interesting, because the Amplified here, the Greek word for the word will is thelema, and literally it has the idea of determination, purpose, desire, choice, and pleasure. So God's kingdom, God's rule, God's reign in heaven, where God's will is being done perfectly. I won't say 24/7, 365, because there is none of that up there, right? It's eternal, right? But just to get my point across, God's will is being done at all times perfectly. Why? Because God gets to rule and reign there. He has total freedom to do that. And he wants that here on this earth. And I would have thought, now I'm the first one to admit that I've not lived up to, you know, what the Word says about these things, but I would have figured after 2,000 years, you think we would have got it straightened out by now. Because we've had the Word for 2,000 years. You know? But we haven't. And this is what God is wanting to do. Is He going to be able to do that everywhere? I doubt it very much from what I read in the Word, the last days and the apostasy and different things like that. But that doesn't mean that He can't do it through us. Because ultimately, you and I, we are going to give an account to Jesus all by ourselves. Number one. I heard a good teaching on this. I won't mention his name. He's a great preacher. And when he got saved, the pastors weren't quite... They didn't do quite what they should have done with him. And he backslid because of that. And finally, the Lord got a hold of him. And he said, you know... He said, you had the Holy Spirit when you got born again. You had the new nature. And you had my Word. And you got baptized in the Holy Spirit too, so you had tongues. So... there's no excuses. Yeah, they should have been there for you. And you know what? They will give an account for that. They will. The Lord told them, He says, nobody gets away with anything with me. Nobody. Whether it's down here or especially up there, nobody gets away with anything. And this is not to put the fear in us. But you know what? I don't mind if God used a little bit of fear with me. Because you know what? I just want things to be right with Him and me when I get there. I don't have a problem with that. You know? But that's what he said. He said, you're going to have to deal with me face to face. And then after that, then anything and anyone that has kind of compromised your walk with me, it's all going to be brought into judgment. I'm very well capable, but never lose sight that you're going to deal with me and you alone. And that's it. And the Bible's very clear about that. Amen.